Prime time is anytime. Subscribe to the Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Little change in your starting lineup, swapping one big sports guy for another big sports guy. Jeff Blair fills in for Bob McCowan. This is Primetime Sports on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
So this is the final day of August 2015, or as it will now be called forever from this point on in Toronto, EdGust. Yeah, I'm trying. Edwin Encarnacion and the Toronto Blue Jays continuing to be the hottest story in baseball. The Jays will open a three-game series against the Cleveland Indians tonight at the Rogers Centre. You'll hear that game only on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and of course, on Sportsnet East Ontario, Western Pacific. I like that, EdGust. No? I'm trying to, you know, Edwin, August. I think EdGust is okay. Anyhow. We'll deal with the Blue Jays on the field later on in the show. Stephen Brundle will join us. Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports will also be along, by the way, and Shai Davidi. But we're going to go right away to a man who needs no introduction, but I'm still going to give him an introduction anyhow. He is the president and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays. He is Paul Beeston. Of course, the news is out today that Mark Shapiro, 48-year-old former president, well, he's still technically president of the Cleveland Indians, has been hired as Paul Beeston's successor. I think that is probably the better choice of words than to say Paul Beeston's replacement. Paul Beeston joins us on Primetime Sports. Hello, Mr. Beeston.
Jeffrey, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well. I just like your general comments on, you know, on Mark Shapiro, what he brings to the table. And, you know, my real question here, I guess, is whether or not Mark's lack of familiarity with this market, you know, could be taken to be an issue because, you know, there are some pressing off the field matters that need to be addressed, particularly with the stadium.
I don't think that's going to be an issue at all, Jeff. I mean, he's a cerebral guy. You know, he's a Princeton grad, but, you know, he's got brought up in a terrific household. I mean, I knew his father very, very well when his father was an agent back in the 80s and 90s. We had a number of negotiations, but more importantly than that, we developed a friendship. And I always go by the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And hopefully that is the same way with Mark. Mark has grown up in a climate that is similar to ours. He's grown up in an industrial city because he's been in Cleveland, I guess, now for 22, 24 years. Mm-hmm. And so he's familiar with the challenges. I mean, he has been to Toronto before. He knows what the city's about. He knows what the province is about. He knows what the country's about. He will indoctrinate himself very, very quickly, throw himself into the community. He's young and he's aggressive. In my opinion, is a terrific choice.
What do you think the major issues are facing him? You know, I keep hearing about the renovations that, you know, he's made to Progressive Field in Cleveland, but I mean, in some ways they seem almost cosmetic to some of the issues he might be facing here with the Rogers Center.
Right. I mean, the biggest, it's not just the Rogers Center. I mean, the Rogers Center is 25 years old. It's, you know, the Jake, as it was once known, and Progressive Field, as it is now called, you know, came after we did, and they did some upgrades. But here, there is some good challenges in the stadium and what has to be to bring it into what could be the 21st century. So you've got that. You've got a Canadian dollar issue that you have to deal with. And you have a perpetual issue of, you know, making sure that you have a competitive team. We've seen what the fans will respond to when you put a product on the field, and that to me are three of the major issues, together with our ongoing desire to improve our spring training facility. I won't call it the worst in baseball, but I would say that, you know, if you had to talk about the bottom five, that would be one of them. On the other hand, you know, we've been in Dunedin right since 1977, and if we can work something out there, it would be terrific too. So there won't be any lack of challenges. Trust me on that one, Jeff, and you know it as well as I do.
Did you have a role in this process, Paul? And if you did, I mean, I'll ask you, why make this announcement now in the heat of a pennant race?
Well, I had a rule in the sense that, you know, I put together the job description and what they do, and I found out, you know, that took me about 10 seconds to put that together, what a president does. But on the other hand, yes, I did, and I made sure that, you know, that the job description was put forward and we do what we want. Now, when they get to the decision of making that they made about bringing in Mark, this was the, once it was decided that he was the person, this is the only time you could do it. So our goal is to focus on the team right now. What Alex did in the last week of July is something I haven't seen in sports. I mean, he transformed the team. He brought an excitement, and he brought more importantly that an attitude for winning. And I think that we can take that as something that, you know, we can build on, not just for the present but for the future also, because of the number of players that he's got and the commitment that we've made for these players, many of these players, on a long term basis, plus the options that he's got. So from my point of view, this was once it was decided it was going to be Mark, announce it now. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think that you can have the, for the integrity of the game, number one, and for the point of view of, you know, there's no speculation going into the future. It's out there. I will be the CEO until the conclusion of the baseball season, and as much as I get paid, you know, I hope that season goes to the end of October. But you know, the fact of the matter is that there was really no other time to do it once you made the decision, and they made the decision, and I think rightly so, that, you know, bring in Mark and we go from there.
Paul, Mark's 48 years old. He's still a young man, as you say, a young man with a young family. Alex is a young man too with a young family. I'm assuming, and I don't believe I'm putting words in your mouth here, but I'm assuming you believe Alex should be given an extension. And are you convinced that these are two guys who can work together?
Yeah, I think they can work together. I don't think there's an issue there. Alex has had 6 years as a general manager. I think that he has shown what he can do. He's a person who learns from his mistakes, and going forward, you'd hope that everything can work out. I don't know what Mark's and Chris's relationship was, but I can assume that that Mark knows that you know, he's a manager, and mm-hmm. His job is to provide counsel, provide advice, make sure that there is continuity between the business side and the baseball side. But ultimately, they can develop a relationship. Why wouldn't they be able to develop a relationship? Alex is a terrific person with a terrific personality. You know what I think of Alex, mm-hmm. and more importantly than that, I think he has shown that he can lead. He's put together a terrific scouting organization. He's put together a terrific development organization. And kind of what's lost, Jeff, is you know, with all these deals that he did, somebody had to scout and develop those players that allowed him to get rid of 12 arms in the trade deadline. And so the organization is there, and hopefully it's a matter of improving upon it. I think anybody that comes in here will always want to do better. But, you know, I think that there is a tremendous infrastructure right now at the major league level, at the minor league level, from a scouting and development point of view. And I think that because Mark has been on both the baseball side and the business side, he will do a terrific job, and hopefully it works out with Alex. But having said that, I know where Alex is focused right now. I mean, mm-hmm. I've had the discussion with him when I told him what the decision was going to be. The challenge is to keep focused on this team for this year. I mean, that's what we're all about. That's where we're going to put our focus. That's what we're going to try to do so that we can, you know, reward the fans who have, you know, been so supportive, not only in Toronto, not only in Ontario, but indeed across the country. And you can tell it not just from the attendance at the ballpark, from the television ratings, from the radio ratings. And to me, you know, that's the only focus that we should have for the next 2 months. They've got chance to develop their relationship from the end of October forward.
You worked with Pat Gillick, you had JP Ricciardi, you worked with Alex. How would you compare Alex to Gillick? And I mean, I'll be blunt. Do you think ownership knows what a solid baseball man they have in Alex?
I think they can't help but notice it. I mean, you know, what they have seen in this past year. I mean, he targeted certain players, whether that be Russell Martin, whether it be Josh Donaldson, whether it was going to make it a trade for Estrada and changing the culture. I think that, you know, it was evident then. Then when he came along in the end of July and did what he did, because I still, when he's traded for Troy Tulowitzki, I thought that was a terrific trade. And then when he came up with the David Price trade, but then it was the little things. to do, getting Revere, getting Lowe. I mean, just looking at their various areas. And so he understands how to construct a team. I can't believe that they don't see it, because I don't think that this was just luck. I think from some of the decisions we've made in the past, you know, they don't all work out. But what you do is you learn from them. And you, the biggest problem is when you do make a mistake, or you do make a trade, or you do make a signing that doesn't work out, that you don't get gun-shy. Mm-hmm. And Alex isn't gun-shy. So I can't believe that they don't understand what it is. And I do believe they do know. Yeah, sure.
Paul, before I let you run, you were obviously around in 92, 93 before that as well, and after it. Anecdotally, I mean, I've talked to friends across the country. I've got friends who are involved in businesses elsewhere. I've got a friend who runs a bar out in Manitoba.
Right.
Which is always good.
I might know that person.
You probably do, and it's always good to have a friend. I mean, what you want is you want to know a lawyer, an accountant, and a guy who runs a bar. And
that's exactly right.
Life is perfect.
In that order.
Exactly. Well, I wasn't going to say in that order, but I think you know what I'm getting at. All just anecdotally, all these people are telling me is that, you know, the bar, the Jays, it's the only thing in the television set. People are excited about it. I spoke to a friend of mine in Saskatchewan. He owns a couple of sporting goods stores. I mean, they're selling out Jays merchandise, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How does the national fervor for this team compare right now to 92, 93? I know it's a different time. I know social media didn't exist, but are you getting a sense of how it might compare?
Yeah, I think that by 1992 and 1993, Jeff, you know, we had had the kind of the disappointment of 85, the disappointment of 87, the disappointment of 89, the disappointment of the last day of the season in 90 and 91 when we got beat by Minnesota, you know, and so there was this sense of frustration and there was this feel, but it was a buildup. This reminds me, and I was thinking this morning, I was talking to Buck Martinez about it, you know, this reminds me more of 1985, and we have a whole new generation of fans that haven't experienced this before, and the beauty of baseball, as you well know, and we're not there yet, but you know, you can get this feel that it's coming, is the circus of a pennant race. Mm-hmm. And you know, so it reminds me more of 1985. Like, is this for real? Is this for good? You know, and you know, I think that we get up in the morning, and I think the players get up, and they say, you know, we can win today. There's no hope. There's no one looking for this thing to collapse. So, excuse me. We play the game. We play the games out, and I think at the very end of the day, it has more of a feel to that. And we know, and this got to go to Steve Brooks and Robbie Alomar, you know, from the Winter Care vans that have gone from coast to coast, and from the clinics that are in pretty well every province, and the team out in Vancouver, and there's more of a national interest. You're 100% right. But look at Quebec. I mean, you know, we played those two games there. We played the Mets and we played Cincinnati, and we'll be going back there again next year, hopefully. And you know, we're putting in 100,000 there. So we've taken the team to Montreal, but we've taken the clinics with our old players across the country. We've taken the caravan across the country. We have a team in Vancouver, so it's a tremendous effort that, you know, is kind of showing that when we got good, you know, we had the support, because they don't feel that they were neglected. And, you know, we're just asking them to support us right now because we tried to support them along the way.
Paul, to that end, let me just ask you this, because I was thinking about this when we were talking about the impact this team's had in Canada. There are going to be people out there who are going to wonder why a Canadian president of the team isn't being replaced or isn't being succeeded by another Canadian. Should that be an issue?
I don't think so. I mean, I think the idea was to bring in somebody who was a seasoned veteran in the baseball side of it. And, mm-hmm. And there's no question that Mark is a seasoned veteran. He started out in the development side. He became general manager. He's been a couple of years executive of the year. And, you know, he's in the business side. So if that was a Canadian, that would be perfect. He doesn't have to be a Canadian, but we've got the right person.
I'm going to let you run, Mr. Beeston. Thank you, as always.
Okay, Jeff. Have a great day.
You too. That's Paul. Yeah. That's Paul Beeston, president and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays. And still president and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays. And, I mean, if you listen to this show or any of the shows in the station, I think you know that Mark Shapiro's got a difficult act to follow in assuming the presidency. So, you've heard from Paul Beeston. He thinks that Alex Anthopoulos and Mark Shapiro can work together. Almost makes it sound as if Alex may already have a deal. I mean, he was just so open about that. So there's several ways we could go as we discuss the new president of the Toronto Blue Jays, Mark Shapiro. I've spoken about him in the past. He's a guy who engenders a lot of loyalty from people who've worked with him. I know people who work for that organization. They absolutely love him. When he took over, or when his job changed, when it morphed into the presidency and Chris Antonetti took over as general manager, there was very little staff turnover. He was very loyal to his baseball people, very loyal to his business people. He comes from a baseball family. His father, Ron Shapiro, represented Cal Ripken, Eddie Murray, Ken Singleton. Hell, he represented Kevin Barker, my co-host on Baseball Central. And Mark came up to baseball family. And Mark moved to Cleveland and has been involved with the Indians for a long time. I've made my feelings on this open all along, both in this show, on my show, on TV, and on sportsnet.ca. I think Alex Anthopoulos should have total control over the baseball operations of this team. I think he's proven to be a terrific steward. He's taken care of the payroll. I mean, there have been times, right? I thought last year he let himself get put into a position where he didn't have payroll flexibility. But as Paul Beeston says, Alex is a guy who learns from his mistakes. We saw that the way he addressed the mistake of that Miami Marlins deal. So on just about every level, I see no reason that Alex Anthopoulos shouldn't be the person running the baseball operations of this team. And I don't know, because Mark Shapiro has essentially said that after today's news conference in Cleveland, which he really didn't say a great deal about the new job in Toronto, he's not going to say anything more about his job in Toronto, his role. So we're going to have to wait and see how that turns out. As I said, it's entirely possible that Mark Shapiro comes in, focuses on the business end of things, grabs a bit with the teeth, lets Alex run the baseball operations of the team. Alex gets an extension, bomb, boom, away we go. Everything's fine. My original thinking was that Alex gets sole baseball control of the team. Somebody else comes in and runs the business end. And if that's what Mark Shapiro really wants to do right now, if he is interested in, how did Beeston put it, making sure there's a link between the business end of the team and the baseball end of the team. If that's what he wants, then I think he and Alex can probably get along. But again, 48 years old, former general manager. Will he be comfortable not having a say in baseball ops? How is his job going to be structured? We don't know. We're going to have to let that play out. So that's where we stand today. You heard from Paul Beeston. You may have heard the news conference. With Mark Shapiro earlier in the day. What do you make of all this? I've told you what I think. I want to hear what you think. 416-870-0590, *590. 1-888-666-0590. And of course, there is a game tonight. Danny Salazar on the mound for the Indians. David Price on the mound for the Blue Jays. The Jays coming off a 9-2 win over Detroit, a series sweep. Their game and a half up in the Yankees. First of three against the Cleveland Indians. Then the Baltimore Orioles come into town. And we'll have that game in Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet East Ontario, West and Pacific. Tom and Ashburn. You're on Primetime Sports. What's up, Tom?
I was just thinking about the ramifications of announcing this change right now. I teach leadership, and one of the things that we talk about in leadership is something called Tuckman Stages of Team Development. And every group that comes together, when they become a team, they go through different stages. And this, the top stage is performing. And I think anybody in the right mind knows that the Blue Jays have been performing well. And they got lucky because they added to their team chemistry when they added those pieces. It could have been disastrous. I mean, we added a lot of talent before and it went south.
Right.
One of the things that you don't do when a team is performing is mess with anything, any of the chemistry, and bring any distraction to the table. And by announcing a new president right now, I mean, when it seemed to be unnecessary, really, why couldn't you announce this after the season was over? You know, it seems like they've created, you know, an opportunity here for some distraction.
Well, let me jump in about a couple things. First of all, I think Beeston made clear this is probably less of a distraction than a month or 6 weeks of who's going to be the president chatter. Wouldn't you agree? That's less of a distraction
than... Not entirely.
Let me finish out.
There's a month, you know, there's going to be a period of time where they're worried about Alex Anthopoulos.
Well, exactly, but...
Alex Anthopoulos is close to the team, and now everybody's concern is, you know, what's his situation?
Well, hang on. Alex is close to the team. First of all, nobody's job status, at least as far as the players go, has changed here. Edwin, Jose, they've got contracts for next year. They've got options that you or I would exercise if we were general manager. I mean, that's a no-brainer. You know, David Price, yeah, that's an issue, but, I mean, that's in some ways out of the Jays' control. But everybody else, Josh Donaldson, he doesn't care who the president of the team is. He's here, right? Russ Martin, he's under contract.
But it's not really a case of being under contract. Everybody's always under contract. It's just distraction. Teams don't need distraction.
But why would this be a distraction to the players?
Because there's going to be a lot of noise around them, and if Alex Anthopoulos is threatened by any of this, a lot of those guys are affected by it.
How?
Because they...
He's the general manager. He's not the manager. He doesn't set the lineup. I mean, I'm just asking, because everybody says, my God, this is a distraction.
Well, I guess...
Do you really think guys
is,
going
why,
for... The...
Why would you even risk it being a distraction?
Well, because I think, as Beeston said, not making the announcement now creates even more of a distraction.
Not really. It makes no distraction at all because Paul Beeston's in place till the end of the... The only thing Beeston said that made sense to me was that it could be a question of integrity to the game.
Well, I mean, I can see that as well.
That's not an unreasonable... I mean, the guy can't be the general, the president of one team, you know, while he's president of another.
I think the bottom line, Tom, too, is you know, once you've made your decision that you're going to hire the guy... You say, okay, this is the guy we want. When is the best time to do it? I mean, look, I'm not saying your argument doesn't have... I'm not sitting here trying to shoot holes in your argument. I mean, it's... You know, you wonder why kind of mess with happy, right? But I really wouldn't... I wouldn't go making the link between the new president and, you know, players looking around the clubhouse and, my God, where's this organization going? Doesn't matter to them. And it doesn't mean they don't like Paul Beeston on a personal level, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it really, I guarantee you that it's not affecting their preparations. It's not affecting their preparations for tonight's game. Joe in Brampton, you're in Primetime Sports.
Hi, Jeff. It's been a while since I've talked to you. Just a couple of things. I got a really intriguing question I want to run by you at the very end.
Okay.
Get your take on it. But as far as Mark Shapiro is concerned...
Mark Shapiro.
Yes.
Not Mike.
Mark.
Yes.
Yes, that's why I said Mark. Okay, sorry. But, yeah, I mean, he's going to have his hands full on the business side of, you know, renovations and all that. If Alex is willing to stay, I think it's a good fit. And I don't think there's any distraction to the team right now. In fact, if anything, it bolsters the team in the sense that they've got this guy coming in. They know they've got a president who's done it all. And hopefully it bodes well for, you know, possibly signing players down the line. But as far as distractions are concerned, I've got an interesting take on you. And tell me if I've gone wrong somewhere here. The deadline is tonight, August 31st, correct? For the playoff eligible roster.
Yeah,
right?
You have to, all the players, you have to have players. You can't add somebody to your playoff roster if they're not in your organization by tonight, correct?
Okay, agreed. So... as far as call-ups are concerned, like after tonight's game, I was just thinking, you know, as far as Alex tweaking the roster and maybe hopefully not causing a distraction, you're looking at Eskel Carrera versus Dalton Pompey being playoff eligible. If they call Dalton Pompey up after September 1st, technically he's not playoff eligible unless someone gets hurt. So what about after tonight's game? DFAing Eskel Carrera and calling up Dalton Pompey, because at least in my view, and I'd like to get your take on this, I mean, you compare the two, I think Pompey...
Why would you have to DFA him?
His speed is just as good.
Why would you have to DFA him?
I'm talking about Esquel Carrera because he's out of options, isn't he?
Well, yeah, but there's doesn't matter in September 1st. You can have 45 guys up here if you want September 1st.
No, you're missing my point. I'm trying to make Dalton Pompey playoff eligible before September 1st.
Well, you have to be
on the roster.
Yeah, you can bring him up tonight. You can bring him up, and he's playoff eligible. You don't have to do anything. Everybody who's called up in September 1st is playoff eligible.
They're available to be on the playoff roster if they're called up after September 1st?
On September 1st. It's on September 1st.
Okay, what about after September 1st?
No, you got to be here to be on the playoff roster. I mean, if Dalton it's irrelevant because you can bring, as I said, you can bring up with the exception of Marcus Stroman because he's a DL. You can add a DL guy later. It's irrelevant. You can have 40 guys here if you want. I don't know how many guys the Jays are going to bring up. But, you know, and if they don't want Dalton Pompey, if they think that they want Dalton Pompey to finish the season and he's got enough at-bats, yada, yada, then maybe they won't call him up. But, I mean, I just can't see that happening. And I think the Bison's schedule goes until, I think it's a week from today. So don't worry about DFAing guys or anything like that. Unless they're not on the 40-man roster. Brad and Whitby, you're on Primetime Sports.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
No worries.
I enjoyed the interview you did with Paul Beeson. That was actually very good. My question to you, though, would be, I wonder why, you know, it wasn't asked why Alex Anthopoulos never had a shot of the presidency. After working for Paul Beeson for so long and Paul Beeson saying nothing but great things about him.
How do you know he didn't?
He did not have an interview?
How do you know?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, why wouldn't you have asked him that? Because it would have been interesting to
see. Well, because, A, he wouldn't tell me. And secondly, we don't know how many people were interviewed for it.
Well, I think he would have been the best choice for the presidency, like you. I think he should have been appointed the main guy. I think he's proven himself. I've been wondering, it would have been interesting to see what he was lacking, if anything at all, why they never gave him a shot. That's all. That, to me, that would have been an obvious question to ask.
All right.
Thank you.
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Rash Madan will join us as our co-host at 5 o'clock. I'm going to squeeze in one more call. Take a break. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with your calls. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Primetime Sports, the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more great sports talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
We're back. Arash Madani will join me as co-host at 5 o'clock. Stephen Brunt will join us as well. Brunt's piece on Dave Steeb's no-hitters, tremendous. Dave Steeb, almost perfect, that aired yesterday in Sportsnet. And we'll talk to Brunt about that and his take on the hiring of Mark Shapiro. That's what we're talking about. Mark Shapiro hired as president and CEO of the Blue Jays today. We're talking about call-ups before the break. And basically, if you're in the organization as of September 1st, or midnight tonight, I'm sorry, you're eligible to be called up for the playoffs. The team submit a 25-man roster for each series. And there's, there's exceptions made for injuries and all that. So that, you want to clarify that, because this idea, as I said, at this point, let's not get into whether or not Ezequiel Carrera needs to be DFA'd so Dalton Pompey can join, et cetera, et cetera. The AAA season goes for another week. Stephen Kitchener, you're on Primetime Sports. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Good, good.
Long-time listener. I love your show and this show.
Thank you.
I just have a couple of quick comments.
Yes.
Mark Shapiro, I hope he's good, but and I really don't care unless he's going to lower ticket prices, hot dogs and beer.
Why would
that ain't going to happen?
Okay,
that's going to, you know, either way, it is what it is. He's the president. But my main concern is Alex Anthopoulos. If this guy does not get re-signed for whatever reason, I'm going to lose respect for the Jays and Rogers, because we live in Canada, which is a country that I think rewards people for doing a good job. And without him, none of this happens. We're not in a pennant race. We're not even talking about a pennant race.
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't do what's right and sign him, I think it's a travesty, and I really will lose respect for Rogers. I'll just hang up and listen to your comments.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I've been very clear. You know, I hold no sway in this organization, obviously, but to me, Alex gets an extension. To me, Alex runs the baseball operations. I mean, I can't say it any more clearly than that. I can't. On every level, I think the guy's proven he can do the job. I'm not going to get wrapped up. And to me, the Canadian thing, it's nice. I like that. I've known Alex for a while as well, so I obviously like that. I just think he deserves it. I mean, I'm sorry. At the end of the day, I think he deserves to be the guy running the baseball operations here. That's me. John in Pottageville, you're on Primetime Sports.
Afternoon, Jeff.
Afternoon, John.
You're going to be late for the ball game tonight.
I probably will not get to the ball game tonight because of this. But you know what? Talking to you, John, makes it all worthwhile.
All worthwhile.
It's not like the good old days where I could leave here, drive down, find a parking spot at the Rogers Center, go in and join 11,363 of my closest friends and watch baseball. Now, if you don't get down there early, God, you're parking down, you know, you're parking in Scarborough.
Does your wife ever see you?
Yes.
Once in a while, eh?
Enough.
Okay. Well, that's a good point. Enough is enough.
Exactly.
My point is, you're being the new president of this organization.
Mm-hmm.
And what Alex has done in the last couple of months, how can you not make him the GM and pay him for the next 2 or 3 years? And I look at it as, if they do well going into the playoffs, then you've got them for a long time. But if next year you got guys that are going to be leaving this team, probably unless you want to pay Encarnacion a lot of money to be a DH, and guys like Batista is going to want big bucks and you're going to lose price, it'd be a lot easier to fire the guy if he doesn't have a good year next year.
Okay. And this is one of the things with Beeston that I think we were.
Beeston saved his job this year.
Well, it didn't. He didn't save his job because he's leaving.
No, but the thing is, I think he put his arse on the line to keep him here this year at the start of the season, because the moves he's made in the past haven't worked out.
Who? Beeston?
Yeah, no, I think Beeston wants to keep Alex around. And when he made the moves for the Marlins and the Mets, it didn't work out the way it was planned.
Right.
Okay? So, you know, Beeston still had a lot of good things about Alex to say. And I think that's probably what kept his job this year, especially when they got to...
You're saying Alex's job. I'm sorry. I misinterpreted. I thought you were talking about, I was going to go, what moves did Beeston make? Yeah, oh yeah, Alex saved his job. Damn right he saved his job. I think John Gibbons probably saved his job. I don't know what's going to, and again, this is, we haven't even talked about this, but if Alex doesn't come back, what do you do with the manager? I mean, I don't even want to get into that right now. We're talking about a team that's a game and a half, that's a game and a half out. I don't even want to talk about that. Eddie and Fort, I don't even know why I mentioned it. Eddie and Fort Erie, you're on Primetime Sports.
Hi, Jeff. How's it going today?
Good, man.
I saw the Shapiro news conference today, and you know what? I'm glad he didn't say too much about becoming the new president of the Blue Jays, because he's got to, you know, fulfill his commitments first with the Indians, which is a good thing. You know, you which is the right thing to do.
I think Beeston, you know what I'm going to say here too? I think Beeston, maybe we ought to give, put a little weight on what Beeston said about when we talk about the reason for the timing, that it was important that, you know, stuff be clear for just the, you know, the legitimacy, the integrity of the game, and the fact that, you know, Mark Shapiro is clear now. It's clear what he's going to be doing next year. So whatever decisions the Indians have to make, they're not going to be made by a guy who wasn't going to be back next year. I think that was important. Please continue.
Oh yeah, of course. I was just going to answer your question as well. And I think if he did leave, he would have had, like, it would have taken him a long time to decide, okay, what am I going to do, you know, for the renovations of the ballpark coming up, or who's going to be the GM, that sort of thing. So that stuff takes time. So I'm glad that they let him take care of the stuff for the Indians. Now, I was thinking about what he might do, one of them. I know he's got a good business side about him, because I know that he had a lot of ideas about trying to make Progressive Field better, which by the way, I've been to. I mean, it's a nice ballpark and everything, but I think he has some ideas in mind, and I think he's going to share, well, not really share, but he's got a lot of ideas in his mind that I'm looking forward to seeing him do in the future.
Yeah, I don't have, you know, somebody sent me an email and said, boy, how come you're not harder on Shapiro? I don't know. If he comes in and says, hey, you know, I want to be the business guy here, and boy, I've got some ideas for the Rogers Center, and I want to get involved in the community, and yada, yada, and God, I love Alex, and Alex is running the team, then I'm going, all right. You know, my only concerns about this are a couple of levels. One, and it's not concerns to the point where I think it's going to impact my impression of Mark Shapiro. One, Beeston's a Canadian. I wouldn't have minded a Canadian taking this job. Two, a lot of the work that needs to be done at the Rogers Center, and I mean this with all due respect to Mark Shapiro, but a lot of the work that needs to be done at the Rogers Center is much more significant than what he did at Progressive Field. Again, with all due respect, he put a bar in the outfield. Jays have a bar in the outfield. You know, he opened one part of the stadium so you'd get a street view. Okay, that's nice. But the team, I believe, is 29th in major league attendance this year, and I understand their economic factors at work in Cleveland. But I'm just saying that the issues facing this team, I think, cried out for somebody who knew his way around Toronto politically, knew his way around the Toronto business community. And look, you know what? Mark Shapiro, it's entirely possible he moves in here and is one of those guys that just falls in love with the city and gets involved in the city and does all that stuff. It's possible. I'm just throwing out some things that occurred to me this morning when this move was made. But I mean, I'm not going to sit here and hammer Mark Shapiro. Again, if Mark Shapiro comes in and says, Alex is my guy, and I'm going to work the business end of things, well, I'm going to go, all right, you know what? I don't know enough about the business end of running a baseball team to say this guy is better than this guy is better than this guy. And frankly, neither do most of you. And I mean, again, I mean that respectfully. But we don't know. What if Mark Shapiro was a better business guy than Paul Beeston? You know? I mean, we don't know. I think for a lot of fans, the question today is what happens to Alex? Because by and large, I think most fans like what Alex has done with this organization. And you know what? This is also, there's a really weird thing about Toronto. But we spend more time talking about, wondering about general managers than any other city in North America. And part of the reason is because our teams generally haven't had a successful run in recent years. Do you think about how much time we talk about Brendan Shanahan? We talked about the Leafs general managers before him, or before Lou Lamoriello, Brian Colangelo, Masai Ujiri. I mean, we focus on general managers more than any other city in North America. And part of the reason is because our teams always seem to be in crisis, right? Or always seem to be aspiring to be better. I think people like Alex Anthopoulos. And I think the fact that he is Canadian and the fact that he's bilingual, as someone pointed out on Twitter, those are just, that's value added. I can tell you, Alex Anthopoulos does an interview on Radio Canada or on TVA. Pretty big deal. Jeff and Peterborough, you're on Primetime Sports.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I got to say, would Anthopoulos be able to pull off everything he pulled off if he had to worry about the president's job as well? You know, you got to think, does he actually want the job? Does he want the added responsibility? And could he pull off the deals he did?
Mm-hmm.
If he has to worry about ticket sales and other things in the job, right?
I could tell you that Alex is in radio silence today. We don't know. We don't know what his interests were, whether he had any, what their interest was, and we just don't. Just to speculate about that is, you know, it's just pointless. It's just pointless. Corey and Wyerton, you're on Primetime Sports.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Good.
I was just quite curious about how Cleveland had no ask for compensation.
That is a great question. The only thing I can think of is I saw the news conference. Mark Shapiro and Paul Dolan are basically family. And, you know, it's one of those things where you sit down and, you know, Mark Shapiro and Paul Dolan talk, and Mark says, you know, I've got this offer from Toronto. It interests me. And if you're Paul Dolan, you're probably saying, well, A, do I want an unhappy president of the team? Probably not. B, this guy's been my close friend. He's done good work for us. I think that just came down to a friendship thing more than anything else. You know, this whole idea of compensation is, I mean, it's just a recent thing. It's just a recent thing. And I don't know, maybe the job is structured differently so that it is a promotion. But my sense from that news conference was that both sides were comfortable with this. We're talking about a long, long, long relationship between Paul Dolan and Mark Shapiro. And I think that was just probably part of it. You know, I would be willing to bet Mark Shapiro hasn't approached Paul Dolan 5 or 6 times a year to say, you know, I'm thinking I want this job. I'd be willing to bet that Paul Dolan said, hey, this is a sincere expression of interest on the part of Mark Shapiro. I'm not going to stand in his way. Steven Cortice, you're on Primetime Sports.
Hey, Jeff, it's Curtis, actually. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
Just real quickly, this thing about...
Then spell it C-U-R-T-I-S.
I know. It sounds terrible, doesn't it?
Anyhow,
this
go
thing
ahead.
About, you know, naming the president is going to distract. Give me a break. We've known for a year that Paul was leaving. Who cares when they announce, okay?
Yep.
That's number one. Number two, this is bugging the hell out of me. People keep saying, well, what AA's done in the last month should save his job. Well, without what he did for the first 3 years, he wouldn't have been able to do what he did in the last 30 days. That bugs me. His body of work, nobody's perfect. Had that a guy earlier said, well, you know, the other two trades didn't work out. Well, who are two of the best pitchers in the rotation today?
Yeah. Well, and
you're... One from each of those deals.
And Stephen Curtis, because I got to correct it. I mean, that's what Beeston said, right? Beeston said, look, it's not just the trades. It's the work drafting and accumulating assets and turning those assets, those future assets, into present assets.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
No, I remember AA saying how he did suffer a bit of a challenge early in his career. He didn't like to get rid of his assets.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he had a couple conversations, maybe one with Billy Bean, one with somebody else, and he kind of went, you know what? If I can't use these guys tomorrow, why don't I get people that I can use today with them? You know, it took him a couple years to get to that point, but without his 3 years of drafting and developing, this would never have happened.
No, that is a great point. And I said this at the time that the Tulowitzki deal was made, and I really mean this. Don't underestimate the significance of a general manager who will look at a big deal and go, that hasn't worked out. I've got to address this situation. I've got to, if not undo it, because he can't undo a trade like that, I've got to at least repair some of the damage that was made. He got rid of Vernon Wells' contract. I never thought I'd see anybody trade for that. He got rid of Jose Reyes. I spent all year telling everybody, no chance in hell anybody wants Jose Reyes' deal. So there you go. Arash Madani will join me. as will Stephen Brent. He's back from The Rock. Continue our baseball discussion. Bud Shaw, the Cleveland Plain Dealer, will join us. We'll find out what exactly Mark Shapiro has done in Cleveland. And then Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports. Shai Davidi as well. All that ahead. This is Primetime on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.